Praise God. Well, it's so good to see everyone. I trust you're hungry for the Word. You know, every time we hear the Word, our lives change. Amen. Glory to God. Turn with me in your Bibles here tonight. I'm a little bit louder now. I think I moved my microphone a little closer. Glory to God. I was giving my son a hug, and all of a sudden he gave it a tug, and whoop, out the microphone went. Praise the Lord. Well, go with me in your Bibles over to Romans chapter 12. On your way over, if you want to stop in Luke chapter 8 and put a ribbon or a bookmark in there or something, we're going to be heading over there here in just a few moments. Many of you received the text message today, so you know the direction we're going. This past Sunday, we taught on the spirit of faith. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, it's our answer. You know, our answer is with us every day. You know why? Because we can speak every single day. And if you're finding yourself, listen, and again, I want to make this clear. You don't need a trial before you use your faith, right? And we saw that faith is a shield. It's not a bandage, right? A bandage is something you pull out after you get wounded, right? A shield is something you put out in front to prevent you from getting wounded. Glory to God. But I'll tell you what, faith is always our answer. You know, if you're facing something, your words have to get moving. If you're going to move in the right direction, glory to God, because your life can only go the direction of your words. You know, and our lives are always just the sum of what we've been saying. Now, don't take that the wrong way. That's not trying to, you know, pin fault on somebody for going through a tough circumstance. Listen, we know and understand the world. Jesus said it. It told us over there in John 16, 32, that in the world you will have trials and tribulations. That doesn't mean everything that came and tested you is a result of what you said. But I'll tell you what, just overall, the big picture will be the result of what we're speaking. Amen. Glory to God. And so if you want to change the scenery around you, get speaking something different. Glory to God. Tonight, we're going to call this, Where's Your Faith? Glory to God. And you got the message. You know where we're going. We're going to be over here in Romans chapter 12 here in just a few moments. But have you ever jumped into a project or ever taken a task upon yourself? And have you ever bitten off too much, you know, a little more than you could chew? And found yourself in a situation or a circumstance where you thought you could handle it, and you jumped in, and all of a sudden you realize that you swam out into the deep end and you can't touch bottom anymore. You know what I'm talking about? You know, the same thing can happen with our faith if we're not careful. You know, we have to know and understand that we have a measure of faith, right? And your measure of faith is not all-encompassing. You know, we have to be sober about our own faith, and we have to know its limitation. Now, before I go any further, let me say this. Faith is not limited. Faith works. Faith is unlimited. Praise God. But each and every one of us individually, we have a measure of faith. And each of our faith, you know, it does have limitations, and we have to be sober to know where that measure of faith is so we don't bite off, you know, too much more than we can chew. You know, every year I have a path out behind my house that goes through the woods, and every single year, you know, there's trees or branches or, you know, things that fall in that path, and I go back there, and, you know, most things, you know, I can just pick up or drag out of the way, you know, because I walk back there a lot, my kids are back there a lot, and so on. But last year, you know, I went back there, and I mean, a pretty large tree had fallen right over that path, and of course, just in typical man style, I just thought I could just handle it myself. You know, I'm not going to get any help. I'm not going to, you know, go borrow a chainsaw or anything like that. I'm just going to get under that thing, and I'm going to push and shove. Or, you know, I tried to, you know, tow the thing out of the way with my four-wheeler. That did not work. You know, I even went and got an axe. I had a brand new axe, and I was like, well, you know, I'm just going to hack through this thing. Well, you know, sometimes when you get a brand new axe from the hardware store, they do not come sharpened. You know, you have to grind them and sharpen them yourself and all that. And so I went to work on this tree that was over the path. And first of all, I could not physically with my own strength. You know, I'm trying to, like, drag the thing. I'm picking up one end of it. I'm trying to drag it. I'm trying to push it out of the way. It's not working. I start hacking out, you know, with the axe, and, you know, and I got through, like, the, you know, there's different kind of hardnesses in trees. I'm not a wood expert, but it's like I was cutting through it, and then all of a sudden, the center of that tree, it just would not chop any further. And it was like every time I was hitting that same spot, all of a sudden it felt like, you know, it was wringing my hands. You ever felt that before? You know, it's kind of like, you know, all of a sudden it came, became like a blunt object or something, and it was just wringing my hands, and my hands were stinging. Well, I came up to a, you know, a situation that, you know, I couldn't get through it, you know, so to speak. You know, it was beyond my ability, no matter what I was doing. You know, the same thing can absolutely happen to your faith, that it can come to its limits, and all of a sudden you've stepped over its limits, and you can sit there and wonder, why isn't it working? Why am I not getting through this? You know, where, you know, why is it just all of a sudden seem like I've stalled in this thing? Well, you know, it's completely possible that your faith isn't sharp enough. You know, it's completely possible that it might get through, you know, it comes to a point and then all of a sudden there's no more progress. All right, the good news is that your measure of faith can be increased. And just because it stopped right there doesn't mean, you know, that that's the final answer. You know, I could just go back, I could sharpen that axe. And you're asking me, did I? No. No. Pete came over, he helped me cut some things out of the way there with his chainsaw and whatever. But how many of you know I could have gone and I could have sharpened that axe and it would have carried me all the way through to the end of that thing. In the same way, you can sharpen your faith. You can increase your measure of faith. So if you feel like you've come to a point and all of a sudden you feel like you've stalled on something, or you're sitting around wondering, you know, why isn't this happening, or why am I not getting through this thing like I should? Well, I'll tell you what, the answer is to develop your measure of faith. Amen. To, you know, increase your measure of faith. Glory to God. And go over there to Romans chapter 12. We're going to start here. And we're going to just go right to verse 3. Usually I read verses 1 and 2 with it. But many of you are familiar with this verse. And so Romans 12 in verse 3 says this, Paul writing to Roman Christians, right? Just like he's writing to you and me. He says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." He says, "But to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." All right? At the moment you get born again, at the moment you make Jesus your Lord and Savior, you receive from God, we all get the measure of faith. And at that moment of being born again, we all get the same measure of faith. But how many of you know as you go just a little bit longer, you know, a little bit further, not all of our levels of measure of faith, it doesn't stay the same, all right? And the word measure there, it means a limited quantity, all right? Meaning that you don't get all faith the moment you get saved. You get some faith, all right? And here's what we need to remember about faith. When you get born again, you become the steward of your faith. God is, he will give you the measure of faith. He did give you the measure of faith, but he himself will not increase your measure of faith. To increase your measure of faith, that is something that you do. That is something that you oversee. And we're going to talk tonight about how to increase the measure of your faith. Glory to God. Amen. So God's not going to develop it. You are the caretaker of your faith. All right? If you sit there and do nothing about it, God will sit there and do nothing about it. Your measure, there are people that get born again and then their measure of faith never grows, never increases. They don't do anything to develop or to feed their faith, all right? And I'll tell you what, it is downright dangerous to not develop your measure of faith, all right? There's people that they will stay in a spiritual infant-like state, you know, from day one, and they will not develop that measure. Don't be one of those people. Come on, if you feel like, you know, you've gone a ways, you've gone a ways, you've gone a ways, then all of a sudden you've stalled, you know what I mean? Or you're coasting or whatever it is. Well, time to stir it up again. Amen. Praise the Lord. The measure of faith, all right? And so I had to start by showing you this verse because you have to understand that faith is like two things. Are you ready? Faith is like two things. Number one, it's like money. It's like money, meaning when you spend money, you're going to have to replenish it in order to spend more. Money must be budgeted. All right. You know, there's nobody on this earth that has an unlimited amount of money. You say, well, you know, Bill Gates has an unlimited amount of money. No. He has a lot of money, but he still could run out. You know, it doesn't look likely anytime soon, all right? You know, there's a lot of, you know, billionaires and multimillionaires and things on this earth, all right? But how many of you know they still have to budget? They still have to invest. You know, maybe those 50 billion, 60, 80 billion, whatever, you know, someone like that's worth, whatever amount of money they have, how many of you know God's not impressed with it? You know what I mean? God's not impressed. God has a lot more money than they do because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, everything in it, all the people in the earth, right? And so as much as they have, it's still a limited amount, meaning it's finite. It's not infinite. It can come to an end. And of course, the majority of people, you know, aren't sitting on, you know, many, many billions like that. And so they understand that money has to be budgeted, all right? It has to be spent, and then it has to be replenished. Faith works the same way. You spend your faith and you replenish your faith. Glory to God, all right? And how many of you know that there are items in this life that you don't have enough money for what that item says it costs, all right? There's price tags that you can look at and not, believe me, don't misunderstand me. God's not nervous over a price tag. You know, the number one goal in any time you're prospering with God, listen to what God tells you you can have. The price tag doesn't tell you can have it. It doesn't tell you you can't have it. I don't ever look at how much something is to tell me whether I can have it or not. If God speaks into my heart and says it's mine or I can have it, that is the key, being led by the Spirit of God. Because God's voice many times will speak to you and say, yeah, that's yours. I want you to have that. And he will make a plan for you to pursue it. You know, I don't go out and just look at, you know, go and buy things and, you know, that the money's not there and get into, you know, wild debt and then call that prosperity. that is going on all over the place in Christianity. They're really just in debt. They're really just in debt. Anyhow, you know, but there's items where they have a price tag that, you know, you don't possess the money to spend on that thing, all right? Now, maybe you could borrow it or finance it or whatever, but you understand what I'm talking about, all right? In the same way, there are circumstances that people have not developed their faith enough to punch through to the other side. They get to the middle of it, and all of a sudden, their faith just seems like a blunt object. And all of a sudden, it's just like, ding. All of a sudden, it just starts, you know, stinging. And all of a sudden, you know, you're just not, you know, making progress through that thing, you know. In the same way, you know, faith can run out. It must be replenished, all right? The second thing that faith is like, it's like muscle. Number one, it's like money. Number two, it's like muscle, all right? You're going to have to use it if you're going to grow it. All right. Amen. If you want, you know, your muscles to grow, if you want to develop your muscles, how many of you know you're going to have to use your muscles in uncomfortable situations? Right. You know, I'm not a big gym buff. I know you can't tell, but I'm not. It's okay to laugh, Pastor Brad. It's totally okay to laugh, you know. But I haven't become a big fan of lifting weights because they're just too heavy. They're just too heavy, you know? And yeah, praise the Lord. I know I've used that joke so much and, you know, praise God. But, you know, how many of you know to grow muscle, there's going to be discomfort? There is no pill out there that can put muscles on you. You know what I mean? And no, those machines on TV, if you just do this 20 minutes a day for 3 times a week, you're going to look like this person on it right now. No, you won't. But how many of you know this? You have to use your muscles if you want to grow your muscles. And how many of you know that that typically is you have to use your muscles in uncomfortable situations? All right? Praise the Lord. I know I'm probably totally unqualified to be using that illustration. Well, glory to God. Yep, you guys are doing your best not to laugh. You can laugh at that. That's totally fine. Praise the Lord. All right? So just with money and muscles, how many of you know that they both have their limits? All right, meaning you have to be sober about your budget. You know, of course, and the Holy Ghost says, hey, that's yours. Just don't, you know. How many of you know, though, like as you pursue, you know, a life, there's going to be things that obviously finances have a limit, all right? You don't have an unlimited amount of money, naturally speaking. You understand that, right? In the same way, there are things that we cannot purchase with our faith until our faith is developed for that, all right? Praise the Lord. Or there's obviously, how many of you know there are weights at the gym that you can't lift? You know, I haven't been there for a little while, but, you know, they'd always have these huge rack of weights, you know. And on the one side, you know, they get so small, they actually start to become colored. Yeah, they actually are, they're wrapped in like plastic or rubber, and they go all the way down, and you get into like the 5 and the 2.5 pounds, and they're, you know, and you don't want to be that guy that you're like, you got the colored weights. Praise the Lord. But, you know, and it starts, you know, at the one end and it shrinks way down on the other end. But you go over to the heavy end and you can look at those. I mean, I've looked at some of those weights and I thought, is there really guys that come in here and sit there and curl that kind of thing? And the answer is yes. Well, why can they? Because they've developed themselves to a point. You know, but I have to soberly look at my ability. And soberly, I look at that and I say, my muscles have come to their limit right there. Actually, more like down here. Not in the colored ones, thank God. But how many of you know, you have to, you know, and I've seen guys, I remember guys in college and stuff, they would go and they would try to lift those things that they did not. They got beyond the measure of their muscle. And how many of you know they start hurting themselves at that point? Yeah, in the same way, if we start biting off more in life than our faith can maintain, you are going to get hurt. You are going to get hurt. And we're going to give you some examples of this. Now go with me to Luke chapter 8. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, let every man think soberly of himself. Let him think soberly of their measure of faith. All right, this is no way to put a limit on your faith. It's to encourage you to develop your faith. It's not to say, oh, come on now. Oh, praise the Lord. Go to Luke chapter 8, and this is what we need to know. How many of you know the disciples, they came across situations? And we're going to look at one right here. And this is where we get the title of tonight's message. Go to Luke 8, and let's start in verse 22. And Luke kind of gives a more concise, a shorter version of when Jesus and the disciples were in the boat and they were heading across the lake when the huge storm came. It's the same passage that's found in Mark chapter 4. I believe it's also found in Matthew's gospel. You know, this same account. Luke gives just a few scriptures on it and kind of quotes Jesus in an interesting way. And so I chose this passage to kind of make the point here. Let's start in verse 22. It says, now it came to pass on a certain day that Jesus went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. So you know this. When Jesus says, let's go to the other side of the lake, what's going to happen? You're going to go to the other side of the lake, all right? Now, he didn't say, let's go over to the other side of the lake free of storms. He didn't say, let's go across, you know, the lake, you know, free of any hindrance or anything. He said, we're going to the other side of the lake. In the same way, he's looked at you and me, and he said, let's go to the other side of the lake. Whatever your lake is, you know what I mean? Jesus looked at you and said, let's go over to the other side of it. Amen. And so, you know, aren't you glad that there's always the other side? It's always there. You know, the side of safety, the side of being done with that thing, it exists. It is not a one-sided lake. There are two sides of it. Do you know what I'm saying? Am I making sense? You know, because the devil, people get convinced, like, you know, that the devil, you know, tries to put things on them and thoughts on them, and they just, you know, all of a sudden people get thinking, this is the new normal. This thing that's, you know, this thing that is consuming my life at the moment just feels like it's the new normal and it's always going to be this way. No, 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 no. You're out there in the middle of the lake. You're out there where the storm is raging. But the good news is that the other side is ahead of you. The other side is ahead of you. Come on now. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is going to help you. And so Jesus says, let's go on over to the other side of the lake. What was that? That was an invitation for faith. That was an invitation for them to believe him. It's just that simple. The invitation of faith. We have an invitation sitting there with us right now. It's called the Bible. You know, and of course, this is just one promise that Jesus made to them. Let's go, you know, to the other side. How many of you know we're sitting on a collection? I mean, a condensed, you know, this eternal condensed word of God that is just saturated with the promises of God. Here's your invitation to believe. Amen. Glory to God. And so God will always set out an invitation of faith. Praise the Lord. And so it says they launched forth. In verse 23, but as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. All right. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were, meaning where they were sitting in that boat, was filled with water and were in jeopardy. Remember Mark's gospel says that the boat was half full of water. Boats filled with water in storms are not a good idea. I learned that in my sailing experience. You know, I was trained down in Port St. Lucie, Florida. I'd received a charter captain's license several years ago. And, you know, I learned this lesson out there that when water is inside the boat, that's not a good idea, you know. And I had to restudy that. I missed that question on the test. Glory to God. And so, remember, Mark's gospel says that, literally says, a storm of hurricane proportions in the Amplified. This was not a summer thunderstorm, all right? And so it was a very, very strong storm. Well, praise the Lord. And it says that they were in trouble. And it says in verse 24, and they came to him and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then Jesus arose, he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a calm. And verse 25, and Jesus, you could say, he turned and said to them, because he obviously looked at them. He says, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. All right? Notice verse 25. Here's, you know, the title of tonight's message. Where is your faith? Jesus rebuked them. And you can look in Mark's gospel, he did correct them, all right? So Jesus turned, and when he says, where is your faith? Notice who he expected to be able to handle this. Notice that what they were going through, their answer was with them the whole time. They could have done something about it, and Jesus corrected them, all right? Come on now. Jesus was letting them know that they could have handled it. All right? But at the moment, the storm was winning. All right? But it didn't have to be that way. All right? In the same way, you know, that thing you're going through, it can feel like it's winning. But it doesn't have to be that way. You know, that tree in the middle of my path with that dull axe, it sure felt like it was winning. It felt like I was getting hit harder than that tree was, because it seemed like everything I did just bounced off that tree and hit me, you know? And, and by the way, this was not the tree that I was cutting down when I put the hatchet into my leg. That was a different tree. You remember the hatchet and the stitches and all that. Oh, no, this was a different, that was after I got the stitches. And so now whenever I'm chopping with an axe, you can better believe I'm like this. I'll be honest, I am a little gun shy with hatchets and axes now. I'm always watching where the head of that blade is. Oh, praise the Lord. See, what happened? They could have dealt with it, but their measure of faith was unprepared. Yes. All right. Their measure wasn't up to it, and now they were in jeopardy, all right? Notice the danger. The Bible says they were in danger. All right, obviously Jesus wasn't, you know, and obviously they had the benefit because Jesus was in that boat. That boat could have sank from underneath them. Jesus would have just floated on top of the, you know what I mean? There was nothing that was going to drown Jesus. You understand that? And, of course, these folks had the benefit of having him in the boat with them. But it says, it told us that they were in jeopardy. All right? They were in trouble. This is what danger is. It is dangerous to allow your measure of faith to go undeveloped because there are things in this world that can exceed your measure if you aren't careful. Oh, I'm going to tell you. Notice that storm was a worldly storm. And notice Jesus got up and rebuked it. So it couldn't have been from God. That storm could not have been from God. I'm going to tell you something right here and right now, since, you know, there's a lot of talk of hurricanes and all this stuff. God is not sending hurricanes into major cities to destroy them. All right? If all storms were from God, then Jesus would have never rebuked it. Because Jesus cannot and will not rebuke anything that is from God. All right? So this storm was not from God. It was in the world. But notice, even something in this world exceeded their measure of faith, and it started to win. It started to bring them into trouble. It started to sink their ship. It started to endanger their lives. This is what danger is when something exceeds your measure of faith. This is the definition of crisis. This is the definition of what a crisis is. And know this, we aren't called to crisis. We don't have to be called and be scared of crisis. But this is what crisis is when the circumstance exceeds your measure of faith. Notice they could have been prepared. And notice they didn't even have a ton of time. It wouldn't have taken a ton of time because they had the invitation to faith back there on the first shore. Jesus said, let's go to the other side of the lake. They should have remembered that when that storm came. They should have said, he said, we're going to the other side of the lake. Storm or no storm, sun or rain, we're going to the other side of the lake. Faith always remembers what Jesus said, what the word says, all right? This is when a crisis arises, when the circumstance has exceeded your measure of faith, all right? And we are told what happened to their measure. Where did it go? Because Jesus asked the question, where is it? Where'd your faith go? All right? Notice that their measure of faith was reduced to zero because it was gone. Something had taken it away. The Bible tells us right there, and let's see, I'm looking right at it. Praise the Lord. Verse 25, we're still there. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered. Here is what fear does. Fear takes your measure of faith to zero. As soon as they gave in to fear, their faith was gone. Their measure had eroded away. It was all gone, all right? They being afraid. Now remember up there in verse 24, 23, and as we started this passage, remember how it said that the wave and the waves and the water and the wind was raging? All right? This is what happened. The circumstance came with, it started with a lot of action against them. All right, meaning it came on and instantly, you know, they gave in to those thoughts of fear. You know, they saw the wind, they saw the waves, they saw the circumstances, and notice that critical moment when their trial started, all right, that fear entered because they did not keep it out at the moment the trial started. That's good. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yep. They were afraid. That's what happened to their measure. Fear will always bring your faith measure down to zero. It will diminish your measure until the circumstance can overpower it. Your faith is a wall. It is a barrier between the circumstance. It could be the devil himself. It could be demonic activity, or it could just be a trial in this world. All right? And your faith is like that barrier. It holds things back. But as fear comes in, that barrier lowers. You know what I mean? And for all you sci-fi nerds, your shields are down. You know what I mean? Whether you're a Star Wars person or if you're a Star Trek person, it don't matter. Any of those science fiction series, they all have, you know, spaceships and they have shields, right? First sign of danger, shields up. You know, all of a sudden they get attacked, our shields are down. In the same way, and all of a sudden their shields are down, and that's when the other side's lasers, torpedoes, whatever it is, starts blasting the snot out of them. All right? In the same way, as soon as you fear, you know, you start giving into that initial moment, that initial reaction is going to determine whether you're going to keep your shield or not. Yes. Absolutely. Amen. Come on now. Praise the Lord. And as soon as your faith measure is diminished through fear, all of a sudden that circumstance can now overpower it. All right? Come on now. This is why the circumstances talk the loudest to you and your mind at first. The first moment is critical. It determines whether your faith will be stolen from you or not. That first impression will tell you where your faith is at, all right? It is at that moment that you learn what you've put in you or not. At that moment, you find out what you've studied or not. You find out whether you've been in church or not. Do you know what I'm saying? That first moment when the trial shows up on your doorstep, the circumstances will be the loudest because it's the first moment, it's new to you, and it's showing up, and you receive that initial bombardment of thoughts and ideas. All right? It is your reaction at that initial moment that will guide the rest of that thing. Come on now. You know, if that, you know, the initial news, you know, whether you know, you got some kind of doctor's report that was negative, whether you got some financial news or some, you know, something happened in your job or whatever came up, your initial reaction to that thing is so key. That is why the circumstance screams the loudest at first, because it wants to plant thoughts of fear in your mind and wants you to take hold of that fear in your mind and start speaking words of worry, words of doubt, and now you've diminished, and now you took the bait. You know, it was all just bait to get you to drop your faith, to get afraid, start speaking negative. This always happens. You know, why is this happening to me? I don't get it. You know, I'm faithful. And people start questioning and they get into doubt. And all of a sudden, their measure of faith is diminished to the point where that circumstance can now overtake them. Come on now. Trying to help you. And so, no, we really need to just camp on this for a few moments so you get this in your heart. Because you better be prepared for, you know, that initial moment when that circumstance tries to show up on your door. It's at that moment you find out where your measure of faith is. It is at that moment you will find out what scriptures you've put in your heart or not. You will find out at that moment where you missed your pastor's sermon or not. I will guarantee you, I have seen it so many times. The services that Christians skip, it'll be that topic that they will get attacked. I've seen it too many times. No, that's not a ploy from your pastor just to keep you in church. It's just the truth. It's just absolutely a fact. Yes, that's right. All right, notice the response of the disciples as soon as Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves. Notice they could have. They could have. Jesus is not going to be the one that comes down and rebukes the wind and the waves for you. I'm just telling you. You say, well, why? He did it for those disciples. You have something more than those disciples did at that moment. They did not have the Spirit of God living in them. Jesus had not yet been glorified at that moment. Those disciples at that moment were living in the Old Testament. The New Testament didn't come online until Jesus rose again, and then when the Spirit of God came on Pentecost. And so you have to know and understand that, all right? Jesus is not going to rebuke the wind and the waves for you. He's going to say, you do it, right? Amen. Glory to God. But notice, they still could have. They still could have. But notice they asked a question. What manner of man is this? Well, let's think about that for a moment, all right? What manner of man was that? That was the manner of a person who was so filled with faith that when life, you know, when the initial circumstances gave him a squeeze, you know what I mean? When they put the pressure on him, faith came out. Faith came out. Notice Jesus didn't say anything before. It's almost like his reaction to that storm was automatic. It was automatic. You know, why? Because the Word, he was filled with the Word. Why? He was filled with the Spirit. When that storm knocked on his door, faith came out. Notice that storm was not the biggest thing in that region. His faith was the biggest thing in that region. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, what manner of man was that? It was a man of God so filled with faith that faith from him came from him automatically, just flew out of him. So let's talk about increasing your measure, because this is where we want to get. We're going to talk about this. Faith should almost be like an automatic response from us. It should almost just come automatically. It should fly right out of us. When this, you know, when this world puts the test, puts the pressure on us, you know, it's like, what happens when you, you know, you wring a dry sponge? Yeah, you know those sponges that, you know, when you're doing the dishes, man, they're, you know, real filled with soap and water, and they're all pliable and all that. And then you put them in that little shelf or something inside your little cupboard door, and they sit there for a few days. And the next time you pick them up, it's like a crusty little... It looks like it's been in the desert. You know what I mean? It feels like you just crumble it. It's so crusty and dry, you know. But if you take that crusty, dry sponge and you try to wring it, what's coming out of it? Nothing. All right. Why? Because it's not full of anything. But when I'll tell you what, when you got that sponge and it's filled with soap and water, have you ever seen a sponge that is so saturated? I mean, you just touch it a little bit. Why? Because it's so filled that just a little bit of pressure, something comes out. In the same way, that is a picture of what Christians should be. You know, you don't want to be that, you know, how much does the world have to pressure you before faith comes out? Come on. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, I'll tell you what, you can even set a saturated sponge. You don't even have to put any pressure on it. You just set it there and it just goes everywhere, right? Faith is running out of it. That's what manner of man they were dealing with. A man so full of the Word, so full of the Spirit, that when he woke up in the midst of a storm, instantly faith flew out of his mouth. Glory to God. I love that. I love that. All right. So let's talk about increasing the measure of your faith so faith starts to become an automatic response. Because I'll tell you what, in the lives of most Christians, it is not that way. It is not that way. Faith is not this, you know, pre-recorded recipe. You know, sometimes, and of course we do, we need to teach the actions of faith, and we can put it in an outline and go step by step. But if we just have some kind of rehearsed faith, even the faith camp, you know, if we're not careful, all of a sudden, you know, the word of faith, all of a sudden, it's just rehearsed faith. Well, okay, number step one, step two, step three. You can go through all the rehearsed steps and have it still not work for you. You know why? Because you've rehearsed it in your mind, but it never saturated your heart. Come on now. Now, of course, those steps and teaching it and stuff like that, we got to keep hearing that, so it does get into our heart. But if you just have a mental rehearsed faith, you know what I mean? If you have just like this recipe, you know, pastor said, by his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes I'm healed. You can sit there and quote that all day. But if it's not really in your heart, it's going to do you nothing. Well, you know, if it's just, well, okay, this is just what I say. This is my first step. You know what I'm talking about? It better be flowing out of the nature of God in you. Praise the Lord. I'm going to teach you how to do that, all right? How do you increase your measure of faith? Well, go to Romans chapter 10. You know where I'm going with this, and we're going to take a little different look at it this time. Because usually we just read the verse and we think, I'm hearing the word. I just go to church every Sunday, and I'm even here on Wednesday nights, therefore it'll work for me. Well, there's a little bit more to it than that. We're going to talk about that. Go to Romans 10:17. The number one way you increase the measure of your faith. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right? And of course, we've taken that scripture, and rightfully so. You know, we talk about, we need to hear the same, messages more than once. You know, we need to hear messages on healing over and over, and we need to hear, messages on all these Bible topics over and over. But that's not the only side, to this scripture. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Now, the Bible obviously is very practical, and you're not going to just repeat the same statement 1,000 times. But when it says faith comes by hearing and hearing, that means hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. It means literally to develop a lifestyle of being surrounded by God's word. A lifestyle. Faith is not a recipe. Faith is not some pre-programmed 12-step program. You know what I mean? Faith is when you have made it a lifestyle, meaning that everything that you do in life is to surround yourself in some way with the Word. That's what you're doing here tonight. I sure hope that that's true, that you're here because your lifestyle is to be around the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right. It's not just a casual hearing of the word. Now, we have to go one step further here because we think, okay, I'm in church. I even read my Bible. I even confess some scriptures and things like that. All those are great examples of hearing. All right. But when you hear the word, it's not just the fact that you heard it. All right. Just because it got into your ears does not mean that it became faith. What do you do to make sure that what you hear actually becomes faith in your heart? Now, hold your place there in Romans chapter 10. Go with me to Mark chapter 4. Let me show you what Jesus said here. Notice it's not just hearing, it's how you hear. How you hear. We're going to talk about this. This is how you increase the measure of your faith. All right? This is something all of us are responsible for. This explains why people can sit in the same church with the same pastor, hearing the same word, and yet people are still in different places with the measures of their faith. Not everyone's measure is growing at the same rate here tonight. All right? Well, I heard the same sermon that he preached. No, I know. Maybe your physical senses received it, meaning perceived it. It entered into your ear canal. Your eardrum, that membrane on your eardrum was flexing, and so you were hearing it. All right, but how did you hear it? Bring up Mark 4:24 for us. Jesus speaking here. I turned over there in my Bible. Jesus is speaking, and Jesus said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, shall more be given. How many of you want more to be given? All right, amen. What does that mean? Increase. Yes. How does increase begin with God trying to get increase to the people of God? And let's just say increase is across the board. Yes. Increase is spiritually. It is physically, it is mentally, it is materially, it is financially. Yes. It's every form of increase that our Father God has always begins with the measure that people hear the word. Yes. Woo, here we go. Notice you got to hear and hear, but you have to also bring a great measure. Take heed what you hear with what measure you meet it. Notice you have to meet That means literally how you hear the word. All right? Let me give you some examples. All right? We could say this way. How urgent are you when you hear the word? Are you sitting here casually here tonight? Or are you urgent about what you hear? All right? Come on now. All right? The word urgent is actually, you know, my favorite taken on that. All right? Your measure of faith will be determined how you hear, not just how often you hear. How urgent are you? How attentive are you? How intent are you when you hear the message being preached? What is your joy like as you hear the word? How responsive are you? Folks, do you know why Family Church, why myself, Pastor Brad, my wife, you know, leadership in the church, Reverend Tony, the worship team, why there is this constant encouragement to respond? Do you think it's just because we're trying to have a cheerleading section? Is it just because we're trying to be the most charismatic church in town or something? No, there is a reason why I'm always saying, lift up your hands and your voices. Give him praise. You know what I mean? Because I know if I don't stir you up to increase your intentions to hear, if I don't increase your urgency while you're here, your measure of faith is not going to grow anywhere. It's not just how often you hear the word here, it's how urgent do you hear the word. Do you see these people? And it's not just for the people sitting up front. You know what I mean? When you see people, and I mean, they are on it. I mean, whether you're a note taker or not, I'm not trying to, you know, make that a point. I think it's a good thing, but it's not absolutely, you know, we're not commanded in the word that thou shalt take notes with every message you see or whatever. But how many of you know, you better have your heart engaged? You know what I mean? Some people, I mean, like, you know, Pastor Brad and others here tonight, it's like you're on the edge of your seat. You know, you don't have to wait for your favorite topic before you get excited. So, and I'll tell you what, listen, there's going to be plenty of times when you don't feel like it, when your flesh doesn't want to react and be responsive. But the more responsive and active you are when you hear the word, the more it's going to get into your heart. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm glad as I look back over the years with Pastor Michael and the time that I had with Dr. Dufresne and others that I sat there very urgent as I listened. Amen. Praise the Lord. Get responsive. Say, well, that's just not my personality. Even more reason to become responsive. Because what you just said is now your personality is stealing from you and it's stealing from God. My personality, I understand, because my personality isn't to do that either. I mean, it isn't. I do not have that personality that is demonstrative in terms of responding to God. Call it my church history or whatever it is. Sometimes I'd rather just, you know, shrink up and just disappear and just no one notice. But you're not doing it for someone to notice you. You're doing it to receive from God. And you say, well, that's just not my personality. Like I'm going to say it again, then what you're saying is your personality is stealing from you and stealing from God. Break out of that thing. Start responding. The Bible says that the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Where is that? 2 Corinthians 1:20, right around in that neighborhood. You know, the Bible says, for all the promises of God are yes in Christ, and the amen is spoken by us. Maybe early on in my ministry, you know, encouragement was more needed. I'll be honest, it didn't need it anymore. In the sense that for me personally, whether you sat there as, you know, bump on the logs, I'm going to preach, and if I'm not going to preach you happy, I will preach me happy, you know. But I'll tell you, I'm not looking for cheerleaders. I want you to receive. I want you to be doers of Mark 4:24. Meet that word with your urgency. Meet that word with your attentiveness. It'll soak into you. Well, I've heard pastor preach this before. Oh, that's not urgency. Because whatever measure you bring to the word is what's going to be dished back to you. That's why some people's faith, their measure of faith, is increasing at a faster rate. Yeah, amen. All right, so now we're back over here. in Romans 10:17. So that kind of fills in this verse for us, doesn't it? Right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But what kind of hearing? Urgent hearing. You know, attentive, you know, intentive hearing. Glory to God. Responsive hearing. Yes, glory to God. You know, a lot of people have visited our church, and I cannot tell you, if I had a dollar every time someone told me this, I'd probably have at least 50 bucks. No. But I mean, several times over the years, you know, people have visited our church and they've come to me and say, you know what, Pastor, we really like your church. You know, the presence of God is here. There's no doubt we really like being here, but it's so vocal. And it just feels weird to us because people are amening and praising and, you know, all this stuff, and it's just so vocal. And I always got to tell them, it's on purpose. Because that's the way God wants it. And that's the way you need it. You need it. Listen, for those of you that won't respond, you sure are being blessed by those that do, and you don't even realize it. Yes, glory to God. So faith comes by an eager, attentive, urgent, responsive, rejoicing hearing. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, it's not just how you hear. It's also, you know, one other element is the vessel that's delivering the word. You know, it matters how someone speaks the word into your life. All right, and believe me, when I am in no way, in any way, say that, I've arrived at perfection in this or anything. But what does the Bible say about how Jesus spoke? Remember how the people, they said he speaks as one that has authority. You know, especially for those, you know, I'll say this for the ministers here. You know, when you speak, you better speak from a position of strength, a position of authority. You know what I mean? It matters. We have a lot of weak voices in the pulpits of America. You know, and people sitting under weak voices. Yeah, it matters. The vessel that delivers the word to you, they better speak bold. They better not be scared to get close to conviction. Amen. That's right. It matters. Well, praise the Lord. Yeah, yeah. Amen. See, when Jesus spoke, he spoke with the spirit of faith. It better be the spirit of faith on the vessel delivering the word to you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Jesus spoke as someone that knew his material and lived it. That's right. Amen. All right. So hearing and hearing, not just hearing a couple times. This is referring to a lifestyle of urgent, attentive, eager, responsive, rejoicing, hearing. All right. It means to be surrounded by the word, saturated with the word. Faith is the result of being around the word in such a high degree that it becomes automatic. All right. All right, so many times people look to, the people of faith, great men and women of God, and we look at their lives as examples, as we should. And, you know, I start to think instantly, I mean, all the ministers that I'm connected with and know and love, and I see how, you know, God uses them, men and women of God, and how, I mean, they're just constantly having breakthroughs. Constantly having breakthroughs. You know, notice that, you know, things aren't, you know, destroying their lives. Oh, they're being tested. They're being tested behind the scenes in ways that you aren't aware of and stuff like that. But they just keep going right through it, going right through it, and bringing others with them, bringing others with them. Glory to God. You know, and we look at their lives and we say, my goodness, if you think about it, I mean, I could just start rattling off names, people that are over me in ministry and stuff, we look at their faith and how they accomplish, how they have breakthroughs, how they're movers and shakers, and things are happening in their life. And sometimes Christians, they look kind of from the outside and they look at their lives and they kind of envy, you know, the breakthroughs that they're having all the time. They say, oh, wow, that's because they're pastors or that's because they're ministers. No, not so much. Do you know why they're having breakthroughs like that all the time? Because the word has become their lifestyle. Because they've gotten to a point in their measure of faith that their reaction to things has become automatic with the word. They're around the word so much. You know what I mean? It's filled them, it's saturated them, and it just, like, when life gives them a squeeze, the word comes out. That is not just for them. That is for us. That is for us to see as an example. Glory to God. You know, amen. He's just like, my goodness, just I see them going higher and going further and accomplishing this and accomplishing that and accomplishing this. Why is that? Because they're around the Word all the time. You say, well, that's not fair. They're around the Word all the time because that's their job. I'm going to say something here that might make you mad. There's a lot of people, if you have a 9-to-5 job, you have more opportunities to be in the Word than most pastors. I'm going to say that again. I know that's upsetting to some of you. Because, listen, you say, what? What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm so busy and all you do, you know, is, you must just sit there and just read the Bible all day. That's just all that you have to do. Wrong. From the time I wake up to the time I go to bed every night, there is something always to do. There's always somebody going through something, you know, and I'm not saying, listen, I love pastoring. I just absolutely love what God has called me to do, but I'm just saying there's a ton of opportunities, just like in your life, for pastors not to be in the Word. All right, so don't make that excuse. Well, that's their job, and they don't have any, you know, anything distracting them from the Word. I would dare say, if I'm not being careful, they have more. Anyhow, and you know what? What a lot of Christians don't realize is how if pastors aren't careful, they are constantly tested with this, is that all of a sudden the Word can just become their job. And all of a sudden, if a pastor's not careful, all of a sudden they lose that love for the Word and just start preaching it because it's their duty. Listen, and that temptation is not there for church-attending Christians. You know what I mean? And so a pastor has that to deal with constantly. Like, you got to stir yourself up, make sure that you're in the Word because you love the Word. And not just, okay, oh, another service is coming up quick. I need material. Amen. Praise the Lord. I wrestle that temptation all the time. I refuse to get in this pulpit with just material. I am not preaching material. Amen. Glory to God. I hope that makes sense. All right. Praise the Lord. It's a lifestyle. All right. Let's go back to this illustration. No doubt you've seen on TV or somewhere in advertisements. You know, have you ever seen those fitness models that they're on that piece of fitness equipment or whatever, and they're on TV? I haven't had cable in years, so I don't know what the machines and stuff are today that they're trying to sell in. But there's always some new innovative stair stepper. You know, I remember back in the day it was the Nordic track. That cross, you know, you're like, woo, you know, that thing. And they'd show somebody get on that cross country. Remember, boy, they were a hot selling item, and people all over the country loved to hang their dry cleaning on them. That's pretty much all they did with them. And you know, they'd show whatever machine or whatever, and they get some fitness model. How many of you know they don't put average people on there? You know, they put some fitness model on there, and he's doing that thing, and they say, just 3 times a week, 20 minutes a day, and you'll burn calories like you never have. And they show some dude on there, and you can see every muscle on his body. He's got like a 24-pack. You know what I mean? He's like, brrr, you know, and every little thing. And I just look at that, I say, there is no way that guy gets looking like that on that silly contraption. There's no way. You know the way he does get looking like that is because that is his lifestyle. He lives in the gym. That guy who has muscles like that, he is there probably 4 or 5 hours a day. Not only that, he's super strict. He's probably on who knows every kind of crazy chemical supplement. He's popping powder, he's popping pills, he's eating raw eggs and, you know, chicken sushi. You know, all this stuff. You don't get looking like that, all right? And the way they look like that is because they're around it all the time, meaning that has become their lifestyle. Oh, I don't know if that's a good illustration or not, but I'm going with it. I'm going with it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yep. Yep. They don't look like that by using that thing for a couple of minutes every few days or whatever. It's a lifestyle. They're always in the gym. We are deceived to think, you know, that we're going to jump into the Word once in a while and then look like that. You know what I mean? You know, or let's take it from the fitness illustration. You know, we think that, you know, we're deceived. Wouldn't we be deceived physically if we think that I'm going to jump into that fitness world every once in a while and I'm going to come out looking like that? That's deception. You can't just kind of jump in and meddle in it and then, you know, come out looking like that. You know, I always tell my boys, I always say, this is by grace, not by works. Praise the Lord. You know, and yeah, you know, and people are doing the same thing with the Word. They're, you know, they're jumping in a little bit, jumping out of it a little bit, jumping out, you know, and they think, you know, wouldn't we be fools? I know I've done this before. You know, you have a good, I don't go to the gym. I just can't. I'm sorry. It's just not my place, not my thing. But I do have exercise equipment in my basement. All right. And again, it's really great for hanging the clean. Yeah, your dry cleaning really is awesome. You know, that weight bench, that 45-pound bar there, it really hangs the suits up really nice. It's awesome. You know, but, you know, every once in a while I'll get motivated, you know, and I'll hit that, you know, for a week or two or whatever. And all of a sudden you just think you're going to all of a sudden instantly just be radicalized, you know, just radical change in your body. No, you can't just hop in and out. You know, nothing works until it becomes a lifestyle. Anything in life. You will not be successful at anything that isn't a lifestyle to you. That's why all these crash diets, they don't work. Do you know, have you seen that? Crash diets don't work. You know, you can do radical crash, you know, workouts. You can do all this stuff. But if it doesn't become a lifestyle, it'll all just come right back. That's what would happen to me. You know, because I'd look at that stuff, I'm like, who can live like that? Maybe some of you can. I don't know. I can't. But whatever, you know, becomes a lifestyle, only then can it be something that you're successful with. Same with the Word. It's got to be a lifestyle. It's got to be a lifestyle. It's got to be, you know, it's a constant habit of yours. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. You know, yeah, we have to make sure that we're not just, you know, I see Christians all the time. You know, when the circumstances arise, they think, okay, now it's time to jump back into the God world. What they're thinking is that they're going to live outside of the lifestyle of faith, and then when life shows up and the trial shows up, they're going, oh, I'm going to jump back into the faith realm again. Oh, the trial's over. I'm going to jump out of the faith realm again. And I'm going to, you know, jump back in with the next test. It won't work like that, because eventually there will become a test that will outdo your measure of faith because it wasn't a lifestyle. Right. Amen. Amen. Just like, listen, if Pastor Brad, you know, were to take me to the gym right now and move me down that rack of weights, you know, I would have to soberly look at that rack of weights and say, that's beyond my ability because I haven't spent any time here. In the same way, life is going to eat your lunch. You know, you'll look at the world, you'll look at the circumstances, and all of a sudden, it will be bigger than your measure of faith because you didn't live here. I didn't live around the Word. You know, oh, I could just take or leave midweek service. I could just take or leave church. I could just take or leave it. I can take or leave it. Well, you won't be able to jump in so easily when the thing knocks on your door. And you say, well, Pastor, if you're here tonight and you're saying, Pastor, I'll be honest, I'm behind in my measure of faith. If that's the case, the good news is that God is merciful. Amen. And that thing does not have to eat you up. That's right. Glory to God. Time to take the axe back to the shed and get sharpening it. Which I didn't do. I went one step better. I called Pete. Pete, you got a chainsaw? Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, and Pete came over. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right. Amen. All right, this is what we have to know and understand. Let me show you. You're in Romans chapter 10. I don't know, you might still be back there in Mark chapter 4. Go over to Romans chapter 4 real quick. We're getting ready to wrap this up. See, because there was somebody in the Bible that they developed their measure of faith, and we're going to talk about the second way how you increase your measure. The first is make the word a lifestyle. A lifestyle. And of course, I'm preaching to the choir. You know, it's really interesting. You know, so there's so much less conviction sometimes on Wednesday night because you're living it. You're faithful. But we all can get better. Amen. Praise God. Go over to Romans chapter 4. Look at verse 20. We'll go right there for the sake of time. You know this is talking about Abraham when God promised him a son. And, of course, he was old and his wife was getting old and there didn't look like there was any natural way it could happen. And it said in verse 20 that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. All right? Here's the second way you can increase your measure of faith, giving glory to God. Notice again, it's always about a response to God. Why is it that, you know, praise and worship and during a prayer and stuff that we're constantly, you know, we give you all the praise, we give you all the glory, and some people will repeat it and stuff like that. It's not because I'm trying to subjugate anybody. I'm trying to do things that will help increase the measure of your faith. And giving glory to God will always do that. Amen. What is giving glory to God look like? Father, I give you glory. It is that simple. There's no trick to it, all right? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith. So again, that word strong indicates that there's different measures of faith. Because if there's strong faith, there must also be weak faith, right? You know, the Bible says there's small faith, there's great faith, there's strong faith, there's weak faith. There's different measures. And when Abraham, notice, there was an invitation of faith. God said, I'm giving you a son. That was an invitation for Abraham to, you know, start believing God, right? Amen? And it says that Abraham was strong in faith, or you could say it this way, he grew strong in faith. I believe there's a translation that actually renders it that way. Abraham grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 21. Something happened. As year after year after year. Why? Because what is the Bible saying? This became a lifestyle for Abraham. Why? Because when was the promise given? He was how old? 75. When did the promise show up? 100. All right, so for 25 years, what was he doing? Increasing the measure of his faith by giving glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God, right? And then look what happened in verse 21. And being fully persuaded. Fully persuaded, giving us an indication that his measure of faith was growing and growing and growing until it could afford the promise. Remember we said faith is like money? Faith is like muscle, right? He kept exercising his measure of faith, until one day he could go to the heavy side of the rack. All of a sudden, that big weight was all of a sudden was within his ability to reach it. I give you glory. I give you glory. I give you glory, Father. Father, I praise you. I mean, if you took times and set aside times, honestly, there'll be times in your prayer life where the only thing you do is give glory to God. I've gone through seasons like that. It's like, for whatever reason, I can't even explain it. I can do nothing but just give him glory. Yeah, I've kind of been there for a little while now. Amen. It's just different seasons. All right, being fully persuaded as his measure of faith grew. Notice all of a sudden he became fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. You could say it this way. You know, his measure of faith grew, his measure of faith grew, his measure of faith grew until one day it just became automatic. Until the one day it just became automatic. All of a sudden, it wasn't even so much a conscious effort as it was that he was just filled. Yeah. Faith will begin. When you learn faith, it will be a very conscious effort. Yeah. But as you increase the measure of faith, you will grow up into a more mature faith where it's like the conscious effort isn't even there anymore. To a point where it's just like you just respond in faith. faith just comes out of you. Why? Because you've just been around it. You've just been around it. Amen. Glory to God. It happened for Abraham. Don't you think it would happen for us? Yes, absolutely it would happen for us. Glory to God. Yep. He became fully persuaded and his faith became automatic. Glory to God, where it just jumps out of you. And of course, that was another way to increase his measure of faith. Here's a third way to increase the measure of your faith: praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. And we just need one scripture. It's Jude verse 20. But you, beloved, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. All right? That's a way you increase the measure of your faith. Glory to God. All right? And so let's give you some examples here as we get ready to close. I got to help. I got to get to this last part because it's going to give you some answers. Okay? This is what you have to understand. Now that you understand the concept that faith is measurable, you know, that you have a measure and it needs to be increased, okay? You have to know and understand this about the Holy Ghost. He will only lead you according to your measure of faith. Not by mine, not by my wife's, not by anyone else's. He will only lead you according to your measure of faith. That is why the Holy Ghost will tell people to do different things than he told other people to do. There are people that have come to me so confused. Oh, Pastor, I knew so-and-so, and they told me that the Spirit of God told them not to take that medication, but all I feel is that I should take it. Yeah. Why would the Holy Ghost, you know, lead one person one way and the other person the other way? The Bible does not give you a specific... First of all, can we just tackle this right here? Because I'll be honest. I'm going to be real honest right here. I've seen a lot of Christians suffer because they think that medicine is wrong. That is a bunch of garbage. Most Christians do not have the faith to not take medicine at times. All right? And, oh, no, I don't touch medicine. I got the faith for that. And the whole time I know, no, you don't. No, you don't. You better know from heaven if you are not to take something or to take it. There's been times when the Spirit of God will lead somebody according to their measure of faith. You know, and just because you start on medication, listen, grow your measure of faith during that time. If you want to get off it, wait till the Spirit of God says, hey, time to be, yeah. Well, glory to God. But that's why he will lead people differently. You know, oh, but Pastor, I know so-and-so, and you know, and you know, they got into a bigger house, a more expensive house, but you know, we want to do that, but it's just not happening, or whatever. God will lead you according to your measure of faith. God will make sure that you don't get into something that you cannot maintain. He's merciful to make sure you don't get into something you can't maintain. That's why sometimes some doors close on you and it opens for other people. It's not like we're saying, listen, and maybe that person just has a different measure of faith in that area, and maybe your measure of faith is greater than an area that's different than theirs. You know what I mean? Everyone has different measures of faith, and especially some people are stronger in certain topics than others. You know, listen, I'm just making the point, you be led by the voice of the Holy Ghost for you. Don't say, well, they were led to do this, so that means I'm led to do that. No. Yeah. That's why certain people are led into bigger ministries, or they're told to buy a lesser home, or a more expensive car, or use medicine, or not use medicine, or all these different avenues in life, because the Holy Ghost will only lead us according to our measure of faith. Glory to God. Amen. Just like the Holy Ghost wouldn't lead me to bench 300 pounds. I'm pretty sure if I ever heard that leading, I would say, get behind me, Satan. Right? Right? You know? And, you know, just like, you know, I would never even attempt to do that unless the Spirit of God, unless I heard the voice of God from heaven to do it. That's the only way I'd ever try. Just like there might be things in life. I'll tell you what, I would have never in 1,000 years tried to lead the Erie Church into the building that it's in. Just naturally speaking, would have never done it. But I stood in front of that building and the voice of the Holy Ghost said, that's the one. I said, okay. That's all I need to know. I don't care what and I didn't even know the price of it. Had no idea what the price is, you know? And it's like, I don't care. I'm going to walk in there. I'm going to ask the owners how much, and I didn't know what to expect. I didn't care. When I was told the amount, my natural body went like, oh. You know, like, not, it wasn't fun to hear seven figures. You know, just naturally speaking. I would have liked to have heard a lot less, of course, just naturally speaking. But I knew whatever we heard, it didn't matter. You know, that's why right now with that building and the improvements and stuff that need to be made out there with the sprinkler system, they're telling us now that we have to put a sprinkler system in, and sprinkler systems aren't cheap. I just say, I don't care. God's got it. He did not put us into that building without meeting every single need. Sprinkler systems are easy for God. Amen. You know, buildings like this are easy for God. But here's what is the variable that counts most. What did the Holy Ghost say to you? What did he say to you? You know, when it was time to look at that building, that was the Lord saying, go to the other side of that. I didn't say you wouldn't be hindered in the middle. I'm just saying, let's go to the other side. So guess what? We're going to the other side. Amen. Praise the Lord. God didn't tell us to build this, you know, that without hindrances coming in the middle. Of course, you know, things try to arise, but guess where we're going? To the other side. Glory to God. I don't care what you are in right now. Guess what? You're going to the other side of it. Glory to God. But don't get discouraged by what God told other people to do. You be led for yourself, and the Holy Ghost knows your measure of faith, and he will not lead you beyond it. He'll challenge you. He'll challenge you to stretch your faith. All right, but he's not going to lead you to do something that you will fail in. Now, has there been things that the Holy Ghost has told people to do, and they do it, and then they fail when they get involved in it? Yeah, absolutely. But it wasn't the Holy Ghost's fault, because they got into a situation, and then all of a sudden they might have pulled back from their obedience or pulled back in, you know, developing their measure of faith or whatever. Okay? All right. Praise the Lord. All right? This is why you need to mind your own business. Because inevitably, we will think the way the Spirit led us is how he has to lead others. You can't tell people what to do based on your measure of faith. Yeah, you have to make sure that they're being led by their measure of faith. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Just like maybe you can lift something heavy. You know, wouldn't that be dumb of me to lift the weights? I'm going to judge what weights I lift on what Pastor Brad can lift. I'd be in probably big trouble. I know he can lift heavier weights than I can, right? He's being honorable right now. You can say, yeah, you trust. Yes, you can, all right? You know, you don't take someone else's measure of faith and try to wear it on you. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so just be led. Glory to God. Yep. You will be held responsible if you try to put something on somebody they don't know how to believe for. All right. Yeah, praise God. You know, I think that's a good spot to get ready to unhook. Listen, be led for yourself. The Holy Ghost is going to lead you according to your measure of faith. All right? But guess whose job is it to develop your measure of faith? It's yours. Don't let the circumstances of life bring you into crisis because you were caught unprepared, underdeveloped, right? And then that thing came over and overwhelmed your measure of faith. And if you say, well, Pastor, that's happened to me, and I'm now in the middle of a situation like that, what do I do? God's merciful. God's merciful. All right? Develop your measure of faith until it catches up and goes beyond that circumstance. Just like Abraham. All right? He just grew. His faith got stronger as he gave glory to God until the point where faith just was automatic for him. Amen. Did you get something out of this here tonight? Yeah. Praise the Lord. And you got to also remember, what measure are you going to meet the word when you hear it? Are you going to sit there in services like a bump on the log? You say, well, my personality is just to be that way. Well, you better stop that. You better not let that personality steal any more from you. Yeah. You know, see, that's the thing. You know, listen. People defend their personalities. Why are you trying to protect your personality? But that's me, I know, and it's you that needs to change. Listen, I know and understand the faults and the shortcomings of my personality. I don't want to be any more like me than I have to. We live in a, do you know what I mean by that? Because the world says, oh, you're unique and you're special and we want you to be you and all this. And I understand there are some, good intentions and all that, but I don't want to be like me. So I need to ask you, why do you want to be like you? I want to be like him. There's a big difference. I'm not here. I don't want to adopt my personality and bring my person. I want his personality. The Holy Ghost is the personality of God. And of course, there always will be an element of your personality on this earth. Of course, you know that. And I'm not talking about, of course, keep your sense of humor. Please keep it. You know what I mean? Please, be real, be sincere, be you. But I'm just making the point. Everyone is stressing, be yourself. Be yourself. Well, I understand, yeah. Be real, be sincere. But I want to be more like him. And less like me. I don't know if that makes sense. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you. You are so good. Father, we just give you all the praise and glory here tonight. Father, we thank you for the measure of faith, how to increase the measure of faith. Father, we thank you for hearing and hearing by the word of God. We make it a lifestyle. We meet the word with an eagerness, with an urgency. Father, we thank you. Father, we can give glory to you and increase our measure of faith. Father, we thank you. We can speak in other tongues, pray in tongues. It'll increase our most holy faith. Father, we thank you for it. Father, we thank you. We just give you all the praise and glory. Lord, we know that we are always going to be led according to our measure of faith. And Father, we're not to just look at, how you led somebody else. We got to dig in and hear for ourselves. Father, you're faithful. You are good. Thank you for the word. It gives us our answers. We thank you. There's always the other side, and it's ahead of us. And Father, we don't have to live life where crises are just overwhelming our measure of faith. Father, we know that it's dangerous to live in this world and never developing our measure of faith. Father, we just love you and praise you. We give you all the glory. Father, as we get ready to receive our offering tonight, we love you. We just say that we love the offering. Father, we know that your people are getting a little infatuated with the receiving, and we certainly thank you for the receiving. We believe in the receiving. But Father, we put our love on the offering. We put our joy on what we give more than what we get. And so, Lord, we thank you. You love a cheerful giver. Of course, every receiver is going to be cheerful. Doesn't take much faith to receive with joy. Where it takes faith is to give with joy. And so, Lord God, we just love to give. We thank you for every opportunity. We love your house. We love your holy things. And you have raised us up to be reverent to the house of God. And we love you. We praise you. We thank you for this opportunity to give. Every time we sow good seed into good ground, harvest is imminent. Lord, you are our shepherd, and we shall not lack any good thing. Father, we thank you for it. We give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Glory to God. You get anything out of this here tonight? It'll save your life. Stir yourself up. If you're sitting there stalled in the middle of something and wondering why, well, develop that measure of faith. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Praise God. Father, we just love you and praise you. Father, I command your blessing over each one that's here tonight. Father, we just thank you. We just say this, 3130 Garfield Road is paid in full in Jesus' name. Father, every need is met. Father, every desire is granted. Father, your blessing, your goodness, your abundance. Father, you are unlimited. And Father, when we pool our measures of faith together as one church, one heart, one mind, we're unstoppable as well. Father, we just give you all the praise. Father, we give you all the glory. in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.